Okay, so like I said, well, in the song, it talked about in your presence, Lord, there is peace and there is rest. And in your presence, Lord, there is life that never ends. So today is all about the presence of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's important that we realize that the Bible talks at least about three types of presences of God. So there's the omnipresence of God, there's God's indwelling of his people, and then also the manifest presence of God. So what is the omnipresence of God? I think most of us know, perhaps the children don't. This is about the idea that God is everywhere and all the time. So God is omnipresent, and even when we don't experience him with our senses, so we can't hear him, see him, he's still with us, and he is everywhere, everywhere in space, everywhere in the world at the same time. In Hebrews 13:5, God said, "I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." So this is this idea that even if we can't see God, he's always there. And that's why as believers we have to live by faith, because we can't always see God. But then David makes this statement in Psalm 39, 139, verse 7 to 10. And he says, "Where can I go from your spirit? And where can I flee from your presence?" And then he says, "If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I go down to the depths, you are there. If I wake up very early in the morning, you are there. If I go to the other side of the sea, you are there." And I remember over the years I've tested this verse. If you go to the top of a mountain, God is there. If you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can talk to God and he's there. Or 5 o'clock in the morning, very early. I remember one day going scuba diving and just thought, "Will God be under the sea?" And so I was there under the water and still had a sense that I can sense God, but also talk to God. He is everywhere and all the time. And of course, he's around the world for everybody. But then it's really interesting. So, because God is one, but also three, there is the omnipresence of the Trinity. So, in Psalm 139, 7 to 10, David says, "Where can I go from your spirit?" So, God's spirit or the Holy Spirit is everywhere. But then in Ephesians 4 and 6, we read that there is one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So it's this idea that God the Father is also everywhere and omnipresent. And Jesus says in Matthew 28, 20, just before he, leaves the disciples, he said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So this idea, I think it's quite interesting that the Trinity is one, but also individually are omnipresent and everywhere. But there's a difference between the omnipresence of God and the idea that God lives in us. So I think we all know that when we're born again, the Holy Spirit come and live inside us. And 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, sorry, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you and whom you've received from God?" So the whole idea that the Holy Spirit lives in us. But again, there's this idea that actually, and the penny only dropped when I kind of prepared for this, that as the Trinity, God lives in us too. So I think we all know the Holy Spirit lives in us. In John 14, it says that the Father will give you another advocate or a comforter to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He lives with you and he will be in you. So the Holy Spirit is with us and in us. But then Ephesians 4, 6 again says there is one God and Father and he is in all of us. And similarly, Jesus said, "If anyone loves me and my Father will love him and we will come to him and make our abode of him." So Jesus said that he and the Father will come and live in us too. So it just makes sense. If God's a Trinity but one, if the Holy Spirit is in us, then it's also true that God the Father and Jesus is in us. And I think, just for the penny to drop and to think what that means, I think is quite amazing, actually. So, but there's a difference between the omnipresence of God and the indwelling of God in us, which is the manifest presence of God. And this is when we can sense God with our bodies, with our senses, our minds, our emotions, and our spirit. And again, that is very different from the omnipresent or the indwelling of God. It's when we become aware as human beings in the natural world of the presence of God. So God's omnipresence and indwelling can be outside of our awareness. So it's possible for, I don't know, any of us, perhaps people who don't believe in God, not to know that God is everywhere. It's possible, I think, for all of us not to know that God's in us. But it's impossible for people not to be aware of the manifest presence of God. Because the whole point of the manifest presence of God is that it's in reality, in the real world. So you cannot not be aware when God walks into the room. If that makes sense. So, fascinating. So if you read Daniel 3, when Daniel's three friends were thrown into the furnace. So Nebuchadnezzar obviously was, as you can say, heathen. So he didn't know anything about the omnipresence of God. He didn't know anything about the indwelling of God. But it's quite funny. For a moment, the big Nebuchadnezzar lost his pose. So he was sitting on his throne and then suddenly jumped up. And he said, I see four men and one of them looks like the son of the gods. So obviously he believed in many gods. But you could see that the fourth person in the furnace, he looked like the son of the gods. So he saw the manifest presence of God, even as somebody who didn't believe. You get the manifest presence of the Trinity. So I have not thought about this, but if you think about it, God the Father appeared at least twice. So when Jesus was baptized and at the transfiguration at the mountain, there's a cloud the second time, and the voice came out of the cloud that said, this is my beloved son, listen to him. So this was the manifest presence of the Father. So you could not have not been aware of it. Okay? Of course, Jesus was born and lived among us. So the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And then, of course, Jesus has since appeared to many people. So he appeared to Saul. He appeared to the disciples after his resurrection. And we still hear even stories today of Jesus appear to people, even in Muslim countries. So that's the manifest presence of God. And similarly, of course, the Holy Spirit was manifested on the day of Pentecost. And we still see the Holy Spirit manifest when people, for example, get filled with the Holy Spirit. So again, this idea that as a Trinity, we get the sense of God's omnipresence, his indwelling, but also his manifest presence. So suppose we could experience the manifest presence of God today in this building. What can we expect? So there might be a sound. So if you go back to Genesis, it said that Adam and Eve heard the sound of God walking in the garden. So there could be a sound. In the upper room, there was a noise like a violent rushing wind. So again, there was a sound of the Holy Spirit manifesting. There might be some fire and shaking. and Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire and the whole mountain trembled violently. And again, in Acts 4:31, it says that they were all together and the building where they were in Acts was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then an interesting one, it says, the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all the creeping things that creep on the earth, and all the men who are on the face of the earth will shake at my presence. Okay? There is something about, so it's important, I think, for the children that we're not scared of God, because I think we have a very special relationship with God, being his children. But it also just highlights the awesomeness of God. And there is something about knowing who he is. There might be a cloud. Sometimes you hear of, I don't know, the move of the Spirit, and people said there was a cloud in a building. Have you ever, anybody been in a cloud? No, I've never experienced that. But when Aaron spoke, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud, and the Lord said to Moses in Exodus 19:9, behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud, so that the people may hear when I speak of you. I think I have been in meetings where there was a thickness in the atmosphere. Has anybody experienced that ever? There's a few nods. So a real thickness in the sense of God is here. And then, of course, so again on the mountain, the transfiguration of Jesus, Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll make three tabernacles, you remember. And then while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud and said, "This is my beloved son." Some people may be unable to stand when the presence of God enters a building. Because we read in 1 Kings 8, 7 to 11, the priest, so this is when the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant. So when the priests came from the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house. Okay. I think for those of you who have been in meetings where there was a real sense of God's presence, there's often repentance. This is often during times of revival, or you get lots of new people coming because, you know, there is a sense of God being there. And then you often get repentance and returning, and then it talks about in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So, like I say, very often this is a time when people become aware of God's holiness, the fact that they're sinful or not holy, and there's repentance and then a return and refreshing. And then there's something about the standing blameless in God's presence. So again, this is important for the children, that we don't have to be scared of God, because we can be blameless. We can stand in God's presence without fearing Him, because we are totally forgiven and accepted. And that, I think, Jude 1:24 says, brings great joy. And also we know that in your presence is fullness of joy. And you will make me full of gladness with your presence. So there's something about being restored, but also being very joyful and feeling completely accepted and, you know, supernatural joy almost coming with the presence of God. Okay, so what else? Often you would get prophesying. So Moses gathered 70 of the elders, and then when the Spirit came on them, they all prophesied. And I think you also get that with Elijah or Elijah. And similarly, we know that in the last days, God will pour out His Spirit on all people, and our sons and daughters will prophesy. And they will see visions, and our old men will dream dreams. There might be gifts of healing. So there's a fascinating verse in Luke 5:17, which says that one day Jesus was teaching, and the power of the Lord was present for Him to perform healing. So that implies that there were other days when the power wasn't there. And it also implies that Jesus knew that there was power versus knowing times when there isn't power. And because Jesus knew there was power of the Holy Spirit, He acted, and that meant that people got healed. So I think sometimes we are at risk of not waiting for the presence of God and then trying to act. And of course, we're called to pray at all times, but sometimes I think I've seen, maybe you have too, that if there is a real sense of God's presence, sometimes people call it the anointing in a room, then it's as if there is more power and the gift of the Spirit works and flows more easily. People agree with that? Yeah? Who's seen that? Anybody can give an example where they've experienced that? Or any of the gifts, yeah.
In Brazil.
Yeah.
At the YWAM conference, oh, a long time ago now, 1990, University of the Nations conference in Brazil in the Amazon, and we had this guy called Claudio Frezio, one of the South American revival preachers, and so there's about 400 people in the room or something like that, and he started praying for people, and they were just falling over like flies all over the place. Including Lauren Cunningham, who couldn't hardly stand up straight. He was swaying like anything. And, you know, which is quite unusual to see Lauren kind of receiving that kind of anointing. Mm. And at one point, Claudio Frezio was on the stage, and he looked at the front row, and he went like this. And they all fell over one after the other. So, you know, Everybody was going up for prayer, and I was really dry from Liberia and tired out, and I went up for prayer and went up on the stage, and he just prayed for me, and there was no pushing or anything like that, nothing like that. And he just prayed, and I fell over. And then I tried to get up, and he came over and prayed again, and I fell over again. I fell over about 7 times. And then finally I got up and left the stage and sat down, and I couldn't, it was like I was drunk. Not that I've ever been drunk, actually, so I wouldn't know the comparison. But, you know, something like that. And I couldn't hardly walk back to my seat. It was amazing. And the sense of joy and refreshing and hope and encouragement that happened was tremendous.
Oh, thank you, Sue.
Very good.
So, and that's kind of linked to the next verse. So part of the topic of today was also the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So this is taken from the Amplified Bible. And it says, so the church in Acts throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed peace without persecution, being built up in wisdom, virtue, and faith, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort and encouragement of the Holy Spirit, and continue to grow. So there's something about the Holy Spirit encouraging and comforting us. So I think there's something about the manifest presence being, we've got evidence of that in the past. I'm pretty sure it's still for us for today. There's an interesting verse in Numbers 9:22 that says, whether it was 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud lingered over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel remained camped and did not set out. But when it was lifted, they set out. There is something about us being in tune of the presence of God and move with the presence of God. Do you mind closing the door, Darren, please? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So when or where have you experienced the presence of God? I think for some people it's through praying. For some people it's through the Word. Say again. I'm just closing the door. It's about feeling God's presence in the beauty of nature. Sometimes it's just about being still with God. And then it's ultimately, and sometimes it's experiencing God's presence through praise. Okay? And then I think I've experienced God's presence over the years in corporate worship too. And some of you may have experienced the same. And I've tried to look back over the years. So what was it in specific meetings that made, and I suppose there are no recipes, but what were the common themes of those meetings? And often I think there was something about uninterrupted and seamless singing. Sometimes I think the songs were longer than they would typically be. In other words, there was a bit of repetition. And I think for me that sometimes helped. But I think, for example, Nina, I think is very different. But my mind is everywhere when I arrive in church. So I need time to get focused, and my mind constantly wanders to work and worries and, you know, get into mode of church. So I need time to get into almost that space, if that makes sense, and to shut my mind off. So sometimes I do need a bit of time to get into it. And sometimes the moment I'm sort of finally there, I suppose the worship is over. So and then I think there's something very powerful about praising and worshiping God with one voice and in unity. And sometimes I think then that is also when the anointing comes. So just another example in 2 Chronicles 5, 12, 14. So this is when the ark was the Levites all brought the ark to place it in the new temple. So it was an enormous meeting because it says the whole Israel was there. And I think it says the number of cattle and sheep that were sacrificed couldn't be counted. So an enormous event. And there were loads of singers and harps and lyres. There were 120 trumpeters. So, but it says when they all praised God with one voice, that's when the presence of God came. Okay? So we're going to do something slightly different this morning, which is why we just want to give more time for worship. So it might be a bit longer than usual. It might be less interrupted initially, but maybe just for all of us just to worship and try to be, you know, of one accord or in one voice. And then after that, we're going to just create some time for the Holy Spirit. So if somebody has a word of encouragement or a prophecy or anything that you want to bring for yourself or for somebody else, then we'll just create space for that. And it is because the Holy Spirit is a comforter. So there might be words of comforting or encouragement. It's ultimately about building up the body and the church. So like you all know, 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, when you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation, and everything must be done so that the church may be built up. But I think first of all, it's about just trying to enter God's presence, hearing from God, and then sharing with other people. So there won't be, for example, unless you really feel you need to stop there because you need to say something for the congregation, then that's fine too. But otherwise, we'll just worship initially, try to hear from God, and then if you have any words for somebody or for yourself, then treasure that and share it if you want to. Does that feel okay?
Yes.
Good. It's good to be in a church where we can try things.
Yeah.
And of course, shall I just pray? Father, we really know about your omnipresence. We know about the fact that you dwell in us, but we also long for your manifest presence. We need you. We can't do anything in our own power, and we need your Spirit, and we need to find new ways to live and walk with your Spirit on a daily basis. We long for your manifest presence. We pray that you will come and have your way in the rest of the meeting. In Jesus' name, amen.